Amen. Well, I praise God for bringing us all here this morning so we can be with each other. Amen. It's always difficult when I get up here and preach because we'll get into it, but it's very humbling for me, to be honest with you. So I appreciate the opportunity. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be speaking out of the Bible today, in case anybody was wondering. Any version you want of the Bible. We're going to turn to James 3, verses 9 through 12. And I will read them out loud. So today's theme seems to be, if you want it, come get it and enjoy it. But there's things that hold us back from coming and getting it. And then sometimes there's things that we do get. Sometimes we don't enjoy. But thank God for today. Amen. Set my gum right there. All right. Verse 9 says this. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So before you think, where is this going? Believe me, I'm wondering the same thing. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for bringing us here this morning, Father God. We pray right now that you be before us, Father God. Use me as your mouthpiece and nothing else, Father God. I pray that you kill my mind and my thoughts right now, Father God, and just strictly your Holy Spirit speaking through me. Father, we love you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said a minute ago, sometimes it's very humbling getting up here and preaching. One, because I don't feel worthy. How many things that God's asked us to do in our life that sometimes we just don't feel worthy enough to do? I wasn't raised in a line of preachers. My upbringing is not from a big, long line of prophets. I used to run wilder than I run now, believe it or not. I've made mistakes. I still make bad choices sometimes. I make others upset. I sometimes hurt people. And believe it or not, I am not perfect. So coming behind this pulpit sometimes gets a little overwhelming. Amen? But it's not through me. It's through Him. And everything that we do is through Him. Nothing else. Jesus says, you are a perfect match for the destiny my Father has for you. But it can't be achieved on your own strength or your own wisdom. It can only be achieved through my blood and a relationship with me. Too many times we try to do things on our own, and I'm guilty of this. I'm one of those control people. I like to make sure everything's going just the way it needs to go. And if it's not, I'm going to figure out a way to fix it so it is going the way it needs to go or the way I think it should go. So what he's saying right here is there's some things that's going to be out of your control. There's some things that's going to be out of your wisdom, your knowledge. So there's times that we need to, every time really, we need to lean on him because he knows the way. He knows the future. He knows what's coming down the pike when we don't. Who in here knew COVID was coming? Nobody. He did, though. A lot of us in here, he was preparing us for that. He was moving us around in jobs. He was moving us around in investments. He was moving us around in relationships just to set up for COVID, believe it or not. He moved my job around because when COVID hit, I never missed a day. If I would have stayed where I was, I would have missed work. He protected me even when the trials, I didn't know were coming. John 3:16-21. I told y'all he's going to be reading the Bible. How many of us in here know John 3:16? If you don't, you need to be at the altar. John 3:16 says this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I want you to remember that. Through him to save the world. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Oh, I need to keep reading. Sorry, y'all. Everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This small scripture passage right here says plainly that all have had or all have issues. Right? It says right there, came to save the world. Are we in the world? Are we humans? We people? We're mankind. It also says addictions. How many of us in here has had addictions? How many of us have had chains, bondage? If the world had perfect people in it, God would not have sent a son. But God saw and knew a sacrifice would have to be made for this, for the sins of man and woman. Women ain't exempt. I'm just letting this sink in for a second, y'all. It's not an AT&T signal. It's good. We are all imperfect. We've all made bad choices. We've all made bad decisions. And there's times that those things in the past make you feel unworthy to even come to church. And it really makes you feel unworthy at times to even step into a leadership position at a church or for God. So, that's kind of the gist of what we're talking about today. It says, just because you have things going on doesn't make you less than in God's kingdom. Life is messy. Messy from our decisions and choices. And sometimes it's messy from other people's life decisions and choices in your life. Sometimes these things ain't ours. Sometimes they're not ours to carry either. I've learned the hard way that sometimes other people's life issues become my issues because I allowed them to. It says, as you strive to live better, make better choices, talk better, you begin to see Christ in yourself. Y'all, before I got saved, I was not the most pleasant person to be around, believe it or not. I know I'm such a likable, lovable person that you love. And anybody in here in that same position was in the exact same way. Because whenever you're in darkness, you make some selfish decisions. You make some bad decisions. You hurt other people. But as you start to live for Christ, those things slowly start breaking off. It's almost like a light. You cover it up. And then as you slowly wet down, say put it in a cardboard box, and you slowly wet it down, eventually that light starts coming through because that cardboard starts dissolving. That's exactly what Christ does in our life from the inside out. Says you begin to see fruits that you have never seen before or that you've only heard of from others. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit starts working from the inside out. This is the light working from within, starting to shine through, because Christ's blood covers your past. It's forgotten and never held against you again. We must move past to achieve the future. And I'm talking about people seeing Christ in you. I don't know what it is since I've been back in Beaumont working. Homeless people are attracted to me. Don't know why. It's just God's gift. Every time I go to CVS in Beaumont down there, somebody comes up to me and they visit with me. And I usually sit and listen. And I usually tell them, you know, about Christ and pray for them. And a lot of the times, they just want to be heard. They really do. A lot of the people that I visit with, I could tell some of them still out in left field, they're messed up from the night before. But a lot of the times, they just want to be heard. And y'all, they're hurting people just like we used to be. Just nobody's shared the word with them in quite a while. Everybody's shunned them. Everybody's pushed them off. The Lord really convicted me of that down there. And so now whenever I see homeless people, when they're coming to me, I do sit and visit with them. I don't give them money. I will not give them money because I know where money goes, unless the Lord just lays it on my heart. But that is a fruit, if you call it a fruit, that I've never been used in. I've always been the one to shun them off, but as I'm slowly growing and processing and allowing the Holy Spirit to work within, God's showing me a love for other people that, you know, they just need somebody to hear them. They just need somebody to share the gospel with them. Just like the tongue and interpretation that went out earlier, don't be afraid to do what you've asked. When He leads you to it, don't be afraid. A lot of people, believe it or not, don't want to come to church or do what the Lord asked them to. You know what that is? The number one reason? Just take a guess. Number one reason people don't want to come to church. I've heard all kinds of excuses. I don't have the right clothes. Those people are a bunch of hypocrites. All they want is my money. All these excuses. You know what the number one excuse when you get really boiled down to it is? They don't want to. They don't want it. And if they don't want it, there's nothing you can do to make them receive it. That is a choice that they got to make. They may be going through the toughest season ever in their life and still make up excuses why they can't come to church. Reasons I didn't want to come to church. I made mistakes. The enemy had highlighted those mistakes in my mind. You don't need to go down there. Look at the mistakes you made. Has anybody ever done that? Am I the only one? Liars. We all made mistakes. Another reason I didn't want to go to church, they're all hypocrites. But let me tell you something. So is your job. So is Walmart. Because they are not rolling back prices. Don't care what the sign says, they're hypocrites. Another reason I didn't want to come to church, I got to give up having fun. I hear that so much. Since I've been saved, since 2001, I have enjoyed my life more than I did before that. I have remembered my life. I can remember details. I'm not scared to go to sleep at night and my wife stabbed me. So this book right here, as you can see, it's a book. I started writing down all the sermons that I ever preached, funerals, those are not fun, weddings, and our mission trips are all written in this book. And I started just kind of reflecting on them this morning, studying before service, and reading some of them. I read about our Haiti trip. I read a niece's wedding, some friends of ours' funerals, my grandmother's funeral. And you know what this book is full of since 2015? That's when I started keeping a journal or keeping it. How much fun this has been. Seeing people start their life, seeing people start their eternal life. The people that we met in Haiti, seeing them just get Jesus shine to them. Y'all, this is more fun than sitting around a campfire drinking beer. This right here. One day when I die, this is not going to be worth anything. But this will be my life from 2015 on. Every time I've spoke to somebody, I wrote it down. And somebody's going to say, read it one day and say, man, this guy was messed up. But you know what? It's been fun. Another reason I didn't want to come to church, I won't fit in. And if you really get down to it, we don't fit in anywhere. We're not of this world. We're aliens. And the friends that you have out in the world, guess what? They only want to be around you when you got money, having a good time. When all that runs out, guess where they're at? Somewhere else, using somebody else. So the excuses, and I just listed mine. You may have more. Yours may be more educated, more realistic. But the excuses does not give us an excuse not to listen to God. It does not give us an excuse not to know about God. All they are is that simply, if you get down to it, the root of it is, I don't want to. So you got to make up your mind this morning. Do you want to? That is your choice. Do you want to serve God? So back to the main question. Do you feel worthy? Without Christ, the answer is no. Without Christ, we are headed down a path of destruction and a resting place in hell for eternity. I hate to break it to y'all, but hell is a real place. And it is a place that God does not send you. You send Him. You send yourself because of the choices that you made. We have the choice while on earth to allow Christ to live within, allow the Holy Spirit to make a cursing tongue into a praising tongue. Or we can simply continue on in darkness that you know and that you're comfortable with and perish one day to never be remembered again. You know, it blows my mind how some people live in such darkness and they're comfortable with it. And then it's kind of like the Holy Spirit showed me this week. We have some kids walking around Fred. I'm not going to name no names because I'm not going to be judgmental. But we have some kids walking around Fred. And they're known for sticky fingers, stealing your stuff, nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. And the first thing you do when you want to see them is you want to call the law, run them over, or get them out of the road. But I confronted these kids this week down our road. I didn't run them over. I was on the other side of the road. And I confronted them. Visited with them for a little bit, then went on. And it was like the Holy Spirit showed me real quick. Why are you judging them so quick? Those kids don't know no better. They've been raised in darkness. They don't know the difference between right and wrong to a point. Let's put it that way. Because every man has a seed of faith in them. But the Lord showed me they just need me. They need a whole lot of Him, I say. But I use that as an example of they're comfortable in the darkness because that's all they've ever known. And that's due to the parents' issues, not theirs, but anyway. Do not allow the tactics and tricks of the enemy to make you become dumb. For all you church people holier than now, I just said dumb. D-U-M-B, dumb. So the definition of dumb, temporarily unable or unwilling to speak, to make unheard or to silence. That is exactly what the devil wants to do to us, is make us dumb, to silence us. You're like, well, I'm not dumb, I'm smart. Don't argue. Just saying, and when God asks you to do something, do you do it obediently or do you hesitate? If you hesitate, the enemy's putting things in your mind and thought processes to make you where you don't want to speak. So the enemy keeps our minds reflecting on the mistakes and failures to make us dumb, to silence us, to make us feel unworthy to speak. Christ's love into others. If He can keep you beat down, your inner power diminishes in the times you need it. So the word dumb, D-U-M-B. Everybody got it? Dumb, D-U-M-B? My category was dumber. I went beyond that in my life. So, D stands for doubt. To be uncertain about or questionable. The enemy puts doubt in our mind, doubt in our hearts. Past relationships, parents, figures that you looked up to might have left you and did something to you. Guess what? That puts doubt in you for the rest of your life. How can I trust them? Whenever my parents did this, how can I trust anybody? This is a tactic of the enemy to put up walls, to never let anyone become close to you. This eventually becomes a bondage. And guess what? It's a tactic of the enemy to make you quiet. If he can keep you quiet, you're not sharing the gospel with people that need it. Even kids that are wanting to steal your stuff, you still need to share the gospel with them. Amen? Yo, I really struggled with this one this week because we live down good road. And you know what? Theft is a pretty big thing, and I don't know. It just kind of aggravates people trying to steal your stuff. Some people may enjoy it, but I don't. So anyway. The you, unbelief. The enemy tricks you into thinking Christ will not do what he said. He will abandon you whenever you make your next mistake. Hebrews 13:5 says this, he will not leave you nor forsake you. The M stands for manipulation. How many people in here has ever manipulated something to work their way in their favor? It's a trick of the enemy. If God tells you he's going to do it and we try to do it our own way, guess what? That's manipulation. If you do this, then this will happen. People will love me more. You try to manipulate things. Teenagers, manipulation is one thing that y'all face every day. Girls, you think, well, if I get pregnant by him, he'll love me forever. Boys, you got to be careful. The B stands for boredom. Y'all are following me, right? That's D-U-M-B, boredom. Okay, I'm making sure y'all awake. Everybody's just nodding their head. B stands for boredom. We've always heard of idle minds, the devil's playground, right? The enemy also takes it to the other extreme. It says, when people become bored or idle, the forces of darkness get to work. We become antsy, can't sit still. So we do anything and everything to keep our minds going. So we're not having to fight that battle in the mind. The Holy Spirit can calm this. He wants to calm this. We actually need, at times, to slow our minds down and hear what God is saying. It's that still, small voice that brings peace and renewal. We need mental rest to hear and to function well. In Ephesians 6:10, it says this. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I know not everybody in here struggles with mind battles, but mind battles are a real thing. And there's sometimes I even find myself when I'm battling in the mind, I'll go out there and do something just to keep my mind occupied. And the whole time the Lord's saying, if you just sit still, I'd probably fight this battle for you. If you'd sit still, you could be an overcomer and you wouldn't have to fight this battle over and over and over and over and over. But it's a trick of the enemy's like, well, just they either attack you this way or keep you so busy you can't think straight. Both of them are tricks. It says right here, it says, you are worthy. Christ died for you. Christ loves you. You can achieve anything if the Lord brings you to it. I remember growing up, my parents were like, you can do anything you want when you graduate. I think they're just trying to get me out of the house. But you can do anything you want. As I've grown up in church more and more and more, I start to realize you need to be careful with that. You need to do what the Lord's calling you to do. Not everybody's called to be brain surgeons. Not everybody's called to be law enforcement. Do what the Lord has called you to do, and you will succeed. Christ is our mediator. He stands between us and our Heavenly Father, defending us. Is everybody pretty good on what a mediator is? It's kind of like a lawyer that stands in between us. So my wife's a visual person, so I was going to do a little visual for you. So you kind of understand, because one day we're all going to be faced this, and you can think back, that guy really had this nailed down. So let's just say you come before judgment, and I'm going to say Stephen Lilly, for example. He's standing before judgment. You have God. Where's Jesus? Right hand of the Father. God looks down at Stephen and says, what is this? Jesus says, that's your creation. He says, okay, what's wrong with him? Jesus says, you created it. You did that. God looks down and says, that was the year of that. Yeah, I remember. Does he know you? Yes, he knows me. Would you die for him again? Absolutely. That is what the mediator is doing between us and our Heavenly Father right now. If you don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor, He does. We were created in His image. We are created with a lot of his emotions. I'm pretty sure he's going to give me a hard time. But what I've learned over life is if they don't give you a hard time, they don't like you. But Jesus died for Stephen. And whenever the father asked the son, does he know you? What is he going to say about you? Is he going to say, no, I never knew him? Or yes, I did know him? Because when God sees you, he should be seeing his son's blood over you, which makes you whiter than snow. But if he sees you and you got the rags, just like the tongue and interpretation said, guess what? He's going to say, depart, I never knew you. And you're gone, never to be remembered anymore. I thank God for Stephen Lilly, that God did break that mold. They did not make that same model ever again. I'm pretty sure Stephen was made on a Friday afternoon right before quitting time. I love you, Stephen. I actually called him and asked him if I could use his name today in a sermon. So, y'all don't think, don't go there, they're going to talk about you. I actually asked him if I could use him. But that's what a mediator does. And that is what our Christ, our Savior, does before between us and our Heavenly Father. It says, no matter your past, no matter your present, Christ has you and can redirect your future. We've all made mistakes. We all make mistakes. As you live for God, the time in between the mistakes should get farther and farther apart. That is called maturity. If my sons were 16 and 14 and still acting like a two-year-old, that is not maturity. Right? So when you get saved, you're born again. And as you spend time in the Lord, you should start maturing as well. Whenever you get saved, there's a lot of things. It's not when you walk out that door, you're still going to feel the same. But over time, guess what? The inner Holy Spirit starts doing those inner works, starts making you not want to smoke, not want to dip, not want to drink, not want to cuss. Those are things that the Holy Spirit does from within. No man is perfect. No woman is perfect. Women, you don't get out of this. I know the Bible says mankind, but it means women too. Some in here have perfect marriages, right? Raise your hand if you got a perfect marriage. But for the ones that have a real marriage, just like Christ loves you through the mistakes, your spouse also loves you through the mistakes. Your spouse also loves you through the hurts. And I'm just going to tell you this. The most important ministry for guys that are married is your marriage. Your marriage speaks volumes to other people. Is mine and my wife's marriage perfect? No. I'm not perfect, so how do you think our marriage is going to be perfect? Right? Kids are going to grow up and leave, and one day you're going to be left with your spouse. Just you and her, or her and him, however you want to word it. That's why you got to make sure to guard your marriage. The enemy is after marriages. He is after the family unit. And if he can do it through the marriages, he's got the family. So sometimes, whenever I leave on Fridays, I always tell everybody at the office, bye, you know, see you Monday, you know, Lord willing. But now I've started doing it a different way. So now I tell them all, I'll see you Monday, unless I die of a pill of suffocation. And at first my boss is like, what is that? A pill of suffocation is where a pillow gets faced right here, and you don't make it. That is a pill of suffocation. But you know, the best relationship I've ever had on earth has been my spouse. I couldn't ask for a better friend, better hunting partner, fishing partner, someone to serve Christ right beside me. And like I've said, I'm not perfect. I've made some bad decisions, bad choices. But she's loved me through it. And I praise God for her. And you should feel the same way about your spouse. That's your best friend. That's your God-given friend. John 3:21 says this, and I'm slowly wrapping up, y'all, because I know we got communion too. You know what's pretty cool about this book, side note? If I write 4 pages, that's a 25-minute sermon. It's pretty awesome, huh? John 3:21 says this. It says, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Anything hidden cannot be dealt with accordingly. But everything laid at the altar can be dealt with and forgotten." Some of us have things in our life that only you and God know about. He even wants those things dealt with as well. Hidden addictions, hidden hurts, give them up. Lay them at His feet. You may be here this morning fighting inside about you being unworthy. The enemy has convinced you that you're unworthy. But Christ is saying you are worthy. Let me introduce you to a Savior that says you are worthy. You are worthy of forgiveness. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of a full life of joy. He makes us worthy. Without Christ, we are lost and full of issues. With Him, we are more than conquerors. Mike, could I get y'all to come back up, please? No amount of money, things, or relationships will ever make you worthy. We see so many millionaires and billionaires in the world. They got all the money, anything they can buy. Guess what? They're still fighting depression. They still don't fit in with certain crowds of people. They commit suicide. That's how miserable they are. If you think, man, if I could just get a little money in my bank account, everything would be better. No, it won't. I don't know about you, but I could spend $1 million a day in a heartbeat. My wife, $3 million a day in a heartbeat. So money's not the answer. Jobs are not the answer. Relationships are not the answer. But a Savior is the answer, and His name is Jesus. You want to feel worthy? Jesus. You want to feel accepted? Jesus. You want to feel like you got a meaning in life? Jesus. Understanding is not required to have faith. I'm going to say that again. Understanding is not required to have faith. We can have faith and not understand what's going on. If you think you got to understand it in order to be holy, guess what? You're mistaken. There's a lot of things going on in my life that I don't understand, but I still got faith that God's in control. I still got faith that God's leading and guiding and directing wherever I'm going. And I know I've got some pretty hard decisions coming up, but I know that He's with me in everything I decide. Proverbs 3:5 says this, "Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding." Guess what? We're mankind. He's God the Father. He understands it way better than we ever will. Amen. If you would, you can stand this morning for me, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up real quick. It says, if you are here and you feel unworthy, today's your day. Today's the day that Christ enters your life and starts cleaning you from the inside out, and the Holy Spirit starts doing His work. You can receive power, you can receive peace of mind, and you can allow the Holy Spirit to stop those battles in your mind. If you've served Christ and you just feel like you've just done all the right things and can't get over a certain event, a certain issue in your life, it's time for you to lay it down at the altar as well. Everything in the light can be dealt with. Hidden things only cause stumbling blocks for your future. And I'll wrap it up with a scripture right here. Micah 3:8 says this, "As I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord." That should be our cry every day. I am filled with Christ. I am filled with His power. So this morning, we're going to take a few moments here. If you're feeling unworthy, Christ is here to show you that you are worthy. Not saying you've done anything wrong, not saying you're living a wild life. Just saying that sometimes the mental battles in our mind makes us feel unworthy and uncalled for. Makes us feel like we're nobody. I'm here to tell you Christ can fix that today. March 3rd, 2024, God can change your mindset. The things that you're addicted to and the things that you can't seem to get over on your own power, He can do it for you. You are worthy. Just like the media.